Okay, we're going to do attendance. We have Councilperson Sacco.
Here.
Councilperson Jones.
Here.
Councilperson Colak.
Here.
Councilperson Fusco.
Here.
And Supervisor Sacco.
Here. All right, call for last meeting minutes. I need a motion that we approve the meeting minutes from the June meeting.
I'll make that motion.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, we got a bunch of resolutions going on. I'm going to go right into resolutions at this point since there's no early privilege of the floor. We're going to start with Resolution 36-2025, which is the 2025 permits fee schedule. Reads, be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve the updated fee schedule for residential and commercial building fees completed by Buildings and Codes Officer Jim Maxwell. This permit fee schedule, this brings it up to date on all buildings fees. Would somebody like to entertain a motion to approve Resolution 36-2025?
A motion?
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 37-2025, replacement of damaged condensing unit. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve the replacement of a 5-ton GE condenser damaged by large ice buildup last winter by the municipal building, behind the municipal building. Low quote was $3,385 from Hayes Heating and Cooling LLC. And will also be, will also clean and tune the HVAC system as well as clean and tune the municipal building oil boiler yearly. These maintenance items are not subjected to competitive quotes. The total for this was $480. Would someone like to entertain a motion to approve Resolution 37-2025?
I'll make that motion.
A second.
Is there any further discussion?
Just a little bit, sir.
Yes.
You know, we had a heavy winter last year, as we all know, but that damage will occur on that type of roof, that type of pitch, even in a light winter. So I'm suggesting, I think I mentioned this last time.
Yeah.
I think before we spend the money and put a new condenser there, we really should put ice breaks on that roof, or it will happen again. And the same thing with the railings, you know. I kind of like the way it is now. They're just removed up to the building, so if ice comes down, there's nothing to destroy. It just hits the concrete. But I would really suggest that before we replace that unit, two things, that we do get ice breaks. There's different ways you can do it. I'm not a roofer, but I understand a little bit. You could have the individual little ice breaks, which work real well, or you can have the bars that you put on. They work extremely well. They're costly. I talked to one company. They get about $200 a foot for the bars. But it may be worth it if you measure how many feet you have there to protect the patio. So I would suggest before we do anything that we do alleviate the reason it happened. I was a little surprised when I saw that why would a company ever install a unit under a pitched roof of a steel roof? Because that will happen.
Yeah,
it'll happen,
sure.
Even in a light winter. So can we somehow modify this to where we don't do anything or we don't install until we fix the problem that the initial cause of the problem by putting ice breaks up?
Were you able to get a quote other than like in paper, something we can look at?
I had a twist and bend and squeeze to get a tax, and it was $200 per foot.
Okay.
Installed for the very best. But I think we should look a little deeper into it and see just how effective the individual. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about, the little ice breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the bars that go up and take the ice and throw it to the side, is my understanding.
Yeah.
So I really think we should, you know, it's okay, of course, to pursue replacing it, but I think we should do it with the condition that the initial problem is fixed first.
Sure.
And also, there looked like there's an attempt to put a teepee over it. Maybe we need to do that as well and construct it out of some really good solid material. So if we do get heavy snow that comes down, the thing isn't crushing, it's not lost. So that would be my stipulation on the resolution, is to correct the problem, the cause of the damage in the first. It wasn't just a heavy winter, that happened in a light winter.
Yeah.
May I have a comment, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Sam and myself have already got the problem solved. We're going to build a treated lumber A-frame right up under the eave, so that was covered. It broke the leg on the one because there was too much weight coming down. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go right up under the eave with the treated lumber A-frame because we don't want to drill holes in the roof. And I'm not sure what you're talking about with that kind of ice we had would work, but this would alleviate the problem. We've already talked about it. Those guys are gonna take care of it before the snow falls.
Will it bury the unit when you have when you do have a heavy snow? Is it like what you see over a door, you know, just a pitch?
It's gonna be treated lumber studs with an A-frame roof right up underneath the eave where the ice comes off. So when it comes down, it's got no force. It hits that, it falls to the side. We've already taken care of it.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit. Does ice get trapped between that and the building and that and the soffit? It's not going to damage the soffit if it builds up and then
it's not going to have ice on it unless it falls.
I would suggest maybe we see a design of that.
Well, I don't think it's worth, you know, holding up getting the air conditioning fixed for the seniors when we have a plan to fix it.
Yeah, this is kind of an unconventional plan, though, you know.
What do you mean? Why would you drill holes in the metal roof and create leaking problems?
No, you don't. You do it without.
Whatever you think, I mean.
No.
Why don't?
I suggest
at this point we'll go ahead and get the unit replaced with that contingency that we look at. Something to put on the roof, and we'll get a drawing or an update on the A-frame as well.
That's all.
It doesn't hurt to have both.
Reasonable.
If we,
And then if you do that, then maybe you can use the little individual ice breaks that they're installed all the time, and the roof doesn't leak. You know, they're designed for that. It's not. We're not talking about poking holes in their roof.
Okay, so I'll add that.
Okay,
if you're comfortable with that, I'll add that stipulation to this. We'll pass the resolution, and then we'll. If you can work on getting quotes for any of that.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Because what I was saying is we need both an A-frame and we need ice breaks.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes?
Yes.
Got it. All in favor, yes. Aye. Motion approved.
Resolution 38, 2025, dog enumeration. Be it resolved that the town board... Actually, Karen, if you'd like to give an update on this first before we go through.
Yes. The town hasn't done a dog enumeration since prior to 2012. It is something that most towns do on a regular basis. It kind of helps us with the dog fees that are coming in, but it also keeps everybody who owns a dog on an equal level, whereas someone who does abide by the law and those who don't. I was all for this. I spoke to fellow clerks in other towns. One of them gave me an online version that I could do, except for that I spent half the month calling and emailing them and they never responded back to me. So I'm now turning it away from that and I'm going to go talk to a printer because I just found out today that the mail price of stamps went up. I'm trying to keep it in a postcard size so we're not spending tons of money on postage. This would go out to everyone in the town, whether they owned a dog or not. It would be their responsibility to respond honestly. And there is the threat that if you were found to have a dog that's not licensed, you could be fined. But that's all I got, so I don't know if you want to table it.
No, I just have one comment. Thinking about this, I wonder if it's something that would be worthwhile to just put in the next newsletter.
I would say yes, but I can't tell you how many people read that newsletter. I get questions from people all the time, and the answer was in the latest newsletter, so... I don't know how serious they'll take it. I mean, I put in there all quite often that I do dog licenses and that they are mandatory in the town of Deerfield. But I also know people who have dogs that aren't licensed, so I don't, that's why I want to, maybe we could change it to where I would look into or do more research in it. I don't know. I don't know how you wanted to do it.
Is the board comfortable with doing a mailer versus, you know, a snippet in the next town newsletter? Or
can you do both and the website as well?
We can. I was just...
The website and newsletter, it isn't going to cost us any more to do that.
Right.
The postage, I think if something's mailed to someone's house specifically in their name, I think that they take it a tad bit more serious.
Well, if you can, why don't we... I mean, I'm comfortable going through with this, but I think if you can find out, you know, get the price.
The details, what it's absolutely. Cost, that's why the mailer, if you feel we'll should table this.
No, I think I'm comfortable going ahead with it.
Okay.
It's going to go ahead anyway. Yeah.
All right.
I was thinking about this one. This is one of the two I wanted to talk about. And I'm not familiar with it. And I've had dogs my whole life, and I never registered them. I don't like, somebody comes down my driveway, I might tell them to turn around and get out. I take care of my own dog. That's just the way I think, right? But I understand in closer areas, you know, suburban areas, closer residential areas, why it's important. It's always good to have a census of this stuff. But I think how you go about it is critically important. We might want to table it to think about it for another month and say, what is the best way to do this? To get compliance, so we don't turn people off on the idea, because all in all, it is a good idea,
yeah.
Right? So, but how this is the tough thing. How do we do it?
But licensing your dog is a New York State law.
Well, I know that.
It's a law. So, if anybody gets upset, you know, I.
Well, it's not whether they get upset; it's whether they comply.
Right. I mean, all towns do this.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you did it?
Prior to 2012. And at that time, they hired two people to go out house to house to house to house.
Yeah.
They paid them hourly. They covered their gas mileage. And then you also have the liability. Doing it through the mail... Is even though we have to pay for the postage, I feel it in the long run is going to be safer, and it's going to be cheaper. And if I can do it in a postcard size, Phil and I were talking. I guess we have 1,600 households, and at the postcard price before yesterday, we figured it would cost about $800 to do. So.
And what I know about mail order marketing is, like, when you get a 2% response rate in the first 30 days, you struck gold. That's the reality of mail order marketing. Mm-hmm. I used to mail hundreds of thousands of pieces. And this is why maybe we should think about it so we can be effective. It's important to be done. We want to do it, but we have to be effective about it. And this is why maybe a three-tiered approach with the newsletter, the website,
mm-hmm.
and follow up with the matter. I think that would be the way to go about it. So I don't know if we can approve
Debbie,
it and not rush into it or modify it to where we give ourselves a different... You have a time.
Yeah, because I think by approving it just gives us the, you know...
Right.
The stance where we're going ahead. You know, we'll weigh our options and
so
move
would just
forward.
So that would be in agreement that, yeah, we're gonna maybe... Can you modify it to remove the timeline? You got a timeline on there? Because I think that when I look at that, it's not going to happen.
Oh, the beginning of August 1st through September
25th? Maybe say until the end of 2020.
Yeah, I don't even know. The timeline may not be something we even need, quite honestly. I'm not sure.
I just want to see it to the effect.
Yeah.
You don't want to get people mad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something you might want to consider is PJ Green.
Yeah, that's who we go
talking.
Through. Yeah, yeah. That's who we typically...
You talk about labor to do all that.
Yeah, I've already...
I told it.
I'm actually meeting with them tomorrow.
All right, so I'll take the dates out of there, and we'll go ahead and move along.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get the Farmville, Deerfield addresses on our list.
Yeah.
The Deerfield with the Farmville...
Yeah.
Is that on our
and
list?
Poland. We have
I'm
Poland.
I'm Poland, and I get it, but... So some of them, yeah, I would talk to them about that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve conducting a dog remuneration in the town. Would somebody like to entertain a motion to approve this resolution?
I motion.
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion at this point? Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 39-2025 is for Whitesboro Cross Country. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve the request of the Whitesboro School District to use our trail system pending receipt of insurance. This is something we go through every year to allow the high school students to use our trail system. Would somebody like to entertain a motion to approve this resolution?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion? Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 40-2025, the municipal insurance renewal. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve our municipal insurance from 7/15/25 through 7/15/26 in the amount of $48,499.82. We will also be receiving a capital return check in the amount of $1,400, a little typo there, bringing the cost down to $47,099.82. Would someone like to entertain a motion to approve this resolution?
I motion.
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 41-2025 is for a municipal building cleaner. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve Ed St. Louis of 5859 Graham Road of Deerfield, New York, to clean the municipal building weekly with a compensation of $50 per week payable monthly. Would someone like to entertain a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make the motion.
I second.
Is there any further discussion?
Is $50 enough?
Yeah.
It's actually gone up since.
Has it?
Yeah. We haven't been able to hold anyone. And, yeah.
All right, but if you feel it's enough, then it's probably enough. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 42-2025, sale of the 2022 Ford 350 F-350XL. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve the sale of a 2022 Ford F-350XL for $39,000 to Brandon Lynch in as-is condition. The town utilized the trade-in value in Auctions International, getting more, and we were able to get more from the truck from Mr. Lynch. The proceeds for the sale will be credited to line item DA5130.20. Would someone like to entertain a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make the motion.
I second.
Are there any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 43-2025. Settling claim of Edward Cox. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve the medical claim of $314.38 for Edward Cox of 9347 Cosmos Court in Sequoia, which was submitted to the town for the outstanding medical expenses after being submitted to his coverage from a fall he had here in the parking lot on November 14th of 2024. Would someone like to entertain a motion to approve this resolution?
I motion.
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
All right, we'll roll into official reports. County Legislator Dave Buck is not Not here. Councilperson Phil Sacco.
Thank you. I have a few items. The quotes for the Hedgeland Place stormwater should be in this week. I've met with Oneida County Planning, and I'm going to try to go down there this week. Sam's supposed to get all the quotes, and we'll get it all in order, a package for the application for the county flood program for storm relief. And depending on how we do, that could be anywhere from 0 to 100%. We have the option of bonding complete the job, so. The county's helped us in the past. The last two stormwater jobs that we've been driving, the county is a big help. So we'll see what happens when we get the prices to this week. And I was meeting with MedVed, Mohawk Valley Economic Development District, this week to finalize the paperwork for the highway department rooftop solar. The $50,000 job is 100% funded by NYSERDA. I don't know where we stand right now. The girl that's done all the MedVed work with me over the last 3 years is ill. So I'm trying to get in contact with one of her assistants to see if we can keep the project rolling. So I really don't know what's going to happen. I hope it happens, but I'm not sure when. And then I worked with Codes Officer Maxwell on a code violation moving forward. It involves a house that was condemned and some other items on the property that need to be removed. And we're moving forward with that. We had a very difficult time finding the homeowner. But we found it. Okay. And then I handled the quotes for the damaged air conditioner behind the building. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I got to get the order of this fixed here. Councilperson Daphne Jones.
A couple things. First half of the month was basically website stuff. Big concern for everybody was updating all the newsletters on the website. So Karen contacted PJ Green to get digital copies of them so that I could put them on the site very easily. So they sent her a Dropbox, and now we have every newsletter on the website up to date. And then the second thing for the website are recordings. So using the iPad over there, I can add those files onto the website. The website developer had to make admin access and add AV audio video options. So once we worked through that, I got them up on there. Next on that should be transcriptions. I don't have them yet, but they should be up there soon. And then the rest of the month was dealt with the storm that we had on June 22nd. So I helped multiple different residents in the northern part of town submit the property and storm damage to the National Weather Service. I'd like to thank my friend Donna for helping me with that, because I was one of the affected individuals and we didn't have a car, so she was able to help me with that. I just wanted to read for everyone's future reference on what happens when you report to National Weather Service, why you would want to do it, and what would actually come of it. So I have the email report here from meteorologist Mark Pellerito. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just go into what happens when you report in real time, such as hearing of downed trees and power lines from train spotters, pictures of damage sent to bgm.stormreport@noaa.gov or to social media or heard on county dispatch feeds. Those reports help put out better warnings. That is, they can update a warning with statements such as the storm has a history of wind damage, and also put a new warning ahead of time when the storm is headed with more confidence. After the fact, reports help to assess if warnings were warranted or went on with lead time, or if they missed damaging ones that should have been warned, so that they can evaluate their performance and what the radar looked like and if something was missed. I was also given a link for all known 371 Oneida County damaging thunderstorm wind events that the NOAA has on record for 2000 and up through May of this year. Anybody's interested in that? Basically what happened up here, and I don't know if anybody saw, but it was North Gage, Crooked Brook Road, Harris Road, Cheese Factory Road. We got slammed. He said here that, you know, wasn't tornado, wasn't microburst, but we had 50 to 70 mile per hour wind gusts. And he said people are often surprised when we tell them that severe thunderstorm winds can actually be more damaging than a tornado, because instead of a narrow, short path, you get a large area of swaths of damage and lots of uprooted or snapped trees and blown down trees, which is what we had up here. So with all of that, they also said there are times that they do consider doing storm surveys, and I just wanted to read that too, just so that in the future, we all know what to happen. I felt like when it happened to my husband and I, it was 4 a.m, we had kids, a tree fell on our house, over our daughter's bedroom, we were kind of frazzled, so we didn't really know what to do and what happened. So that's why I talked to Donna to help other people in our situation. But at request of County State Emergency Management, the Binghamton National Weather Service deals with 24 counties, and thus when things are routed directly through Oneida County Emergency Services, they better determine the need for a formal survey. So this would be if you send in reports and they can see from the pictures that there might have been tornado signs, and then they'll pursue it from there. Significant impact, including fatalities and injuries, which thank God we didn't have any of that up here. And then strong reasons to suspect tornadoes, such as tornadic debris signatures on the radar itself confirms a tornado, or if they need to assess details, which would be through photo and video evidence. So with all of that, I just personally wanted to thank Sam and your team, because you helped us in a way that I don't know what we would have done. I want to thank the Pullman Fire Department and Chief Paluzzo for knocking on our door at 7 a.m. to make sure that we were okay. And I want to thank the Amish community for checking on us too, because with all that combined, it took National Grid days to get Harris Road up and running again. It was a very not safe situation. So I wanted to thank you guys personally, and that is all that I have.
Okay, thanks.
Pending any questions?
Ma'am?
Yes?
Will you put, so I was in direct line of that as well, just literally right
Route
across
8?
From, yes. And I didn't see the damage to the house, but I lost a lot of trees out in the back, which so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to post that to the website by chance, please, for future reference, the links you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and this will all be, I gave all of this to Karen, so all of this will be in the minutes, too.
Okay.
And it includes, the email I got also had like a picture to show, like, this is what we kind of went through. It was very, very detailed, and there's a lot more he says. I just didn't want to bore everybody with reading his very long email. But I'll also put that link that shows all that was 371 Oneida County damaging thunderstorms since 2000. I can put that on there too.
Yeah, maybe if you don't mind, separate from the minutes, because
six
months from now, people are going to forget which month that was in.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, like,
I don't mind at all.
Subset on the website itself.
I'll put that,
says,
and I'll put
like, storm recovery FAQs or something.
Yeah, I'll do.
Mind.
I don't mind at all. I would actually rather we have this so that next time people know what to do and are better prepared and know not only what to do but what to expect, because I didn't really know what happens if you send in storm and property damage to the weather service. Are they even going to get back to me? Which they did, surprisingly. But I'll put the Binghamton email on the homepage too, so you can see this is where you send reports to.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Could you do a little, just a maybe the links on the friends and family page and tell them to go to the website, because a lot of people see that they probably don't go to the website.
Okay. I'll do like a little blurb kind of thing, and then I'll redirect.
Just say a lot more if they go to the town.
Okay.
And then get people to go to the town website more.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Daphne. All set?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am all set.
Councilperson Dave Kolick.
Just a couple quick things. We did get an email back from John Aceto, who had a complaint about the banners on the backdrop, and the banners have been removed at the end of the season, so he's extremely happy that was taken care of, and he just wants to make sure as far as for next year, either to take them down, and I talked to Greg about it. Greg's come up with a solution as far as how they can display the banners. for would not bother Mr. Aceto. And the second thing is, as far as cameras for the town park, there's been a lot of discussion. We've been talking about possible cameras for the town park. The issue has always been as far as having Wi-Fi service or internet available at the town park. So I met with, Phil and I met with Tony Cruiser Jr. from Deerfield Electric and discussed what we needed for camera coverage. So he went ahead and put together an estimate with a spec sheet. And I'd like to ask the board if we'd like me to proceed as far as to get two more estimates together. And then we can figure out where to go from there.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'll be doing. And that's all I got.
Thanks, Dave. Councilperson Dan Fusco.
Well, for comedic relief, the good news is I had seven trees come down, so I was really busy. So yeah. I have some stuff, but not a whole lot. But I have a letter here from the same gentleman, Mr. Aceto, regarding the condition of the Wilderness Park trails that I would just like to. I made two copies, one for the.
I do have the photos.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I didn't have the photos.
Somewhere in my pile.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It took me about 20 minutes to print all his photos.
Yeah, I didn't print the photos. And I got it just in the last hour.
Yep.
Okay, so we're good there. You have to report what comes at you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to report that two of the junk, what I'm calling junk properties, based on the New York State junk law, are looking real good on Walker Road. On Route 8 section of Walker Road. So I'm happy to report that. There was a property complaint on Trenton Road. The person complaining wanted to remain anonymous, but the property was sold. But now, I'm just saying this for record. I don't know anything about how this is done, but just so Jim knows, I haven't talked to him about it yet. But now they're considering putting an addition on to add an additional rental unit. So now they're taking this house and making it a multi-unit house, you know. So if you want more specifics, I can give you names and addresses, but I won't do that anymore.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Did you speak to Jim, did you say?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Like I said, I had seven trees come down.
Yeah, no, that's
fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Jim has spoken to them, and he has let them know that this is not coded properly. When the house was originally built, it had an in-law apartment.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how many times it's changed hands or if it hadn't, but it became, I think there's three rental units in there now.
Yeah. So I'll report back to the resident that what we just discussed. Mm-hmm. Just
okay.
So I can report back to them. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Several people called me and said, "How come the planning board and the town board meeting dates are not in the newsletter?" And I thought they were, but I looked in the newsletter. I had three or four copies. And I didn't see them, but I could be looking right at something and not
they
see them.
They would have been in January. I don't put them in every single time, but they are on the website.
Uh-huh. Would it hurt to put them in every time?
It could end up being a bigger
newsletter.
A bigger newsletter, which would cost more.
Right.
I'm sure we can fit them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least the remaining date is going to shrink as we go. So.
Or you could just say that your town board meetings are the second Monday of every month, and the planning board is the Wednesday prior, and then you don't have to put in a bunch of dates.
A two-liner. And then, like somebody mentioned, you know, we have a nice website. Let's utilize it more, but you need to drive people to it, so maybe you can use this for that purpose,
too. Go to the website.
Yeah, for updates, please go to the website and say, oh, wow, yeah.
That's a good idea.
There was some confusion at first because the two websites were up, but now the current one comes up first in the SEO. So that's great. So that's just something that I needed to report. And there's two other things that I need to discuss. And once again, I don't mean this as criticism to anybody, but they need to be discussed. I have handouts. If you want to take one, pass it down. It keeps being said that the Horatio Street housing project is not low income. So I would like to just review a few things. And the other thing, and the joint meeting for me was disappointing. I'm the one who had requested it, thinking that the two boards can get together, put their thinking caps on, and collectively come up with a solution. But it didn't go that way. The developer put their playbook in front of us, and we simply played off of that and answered their questions or had a few questions for them according to that. Whenever I presented something that might have been a little unique, except for one thing was well received, I was challenged vehemently on it, you know? So to me, that wasn't a collaborative meeting. There's a couple of things. Number one, it is low-income housing. Look at this. There it is. That's the money trail. It's there. And that's what the $12.1 million was designated for. It's all right there. Most of that stuff is not my own verbiage. It's off of the reports and off the websites. But the other thing is to only look at the project as the Pathstone project and not look at it, well, what's going on here as a whole? And if you look at the information I have, the first thing off the county, what do they call it, the tax map viewer, you see that the whole entire land is owned by ARCN and Horatio Arterial LLC, okay? Now, both of those places list their corporate address as the residence of, and I'll leave names out, the residence of the lady who owns that land.
Yeah.
Right? So they are closely knit. Now, if you look at the money trail going through the HDFC, that money is, I'll just read this one paragraph. The Housing Development Fund Corporation is a revolving loan fund established in 1966 under Article 11 of the Private Housing Finance Law and administered by the New York State Division of Housing and Community Renewal. The purpose of the HDFC program is to provide loans to nonprofit organizations, which is what we have, to develop low-income housing. The HDFC loans may be used for pre-development cost, site acquisition. That's something we need to look at. Construction, and so on and so forth. Now, Hochul, in order to get this money, Hochul has requirements, Governor Hochul has requirements, and one of it is that they do include commercial space for childcare. So they're meeting all the requirements to get the $12.1 million. But here, they're talking about coming into our town and making what could be a good investment. Who knows? We haven't gotten to that point yet, I hope. But how much of that money, most of that money can be eaten up to buy the land, to pay the person who owns that land, a big chunk of that $12.12 million. I think the whole thing with the assessed value was like $700,000. This could be a clever way of taking that money and selling that land for a premium. What's the problem with that? Whatever, you know? But here might be a problem. The question comes to mind, since it appears this property has not yet been sold, it hasn't been sold. The real estate transaction has not been incurred because the funding isn't approved yet for site acquisition. As soon as it is, it'll be sold. So it has not been sold to ARC on land development. So how much of that $12.1 million grant is going to the actual development and how much is going to the real estate transaction for the site acquisition? Once the real, here's the key point. They can do whatever they want to, right? Once the real estate transition occurs, will the developer follow up as planned in a timely manner? It looks like Pathstone will. That's why they only want us to look at that as an individual project. But how about the rest? To not draw a direct correlation among each entity involved and to not view the project as a whole is to remain in the dark intentionally or otherwise. These are my words. If so, how can we be certain that any information we have to date is accurate and complete? And will it stand for the future of our town? Any and all questions need to be asked and entertained without hesitation or obstruction. And in the meeting, because we were playing from their playbook, good questions were met with obstruction. They weren't allowed to be asked in a sense, and they weren't answered sufficiently. So we really need to look at that. The two things to summarize. We need to look at the whole project and talk to the developer. What are your intentions through this whole thing? And number two, it is low-income housing. We have to understand that. Okay? So, look, read that over. I did my homework while I was cleaning up 7 down trees. I would never go enter a business deal with all these gray areas, with all these questions. I just would never do it. We're not putting our own money up, but we're putting the potential in the future of our town. On the back of this, I also put something. I travel a lot, and one of my out-of-state clients builds low-income housing. And I told her how the developer plopped his playbook down on our desk and said, read this. You know what she said to me? Dan, that's just what we do. That's what we do. Because then they have their hands on the steering wheel. And it's like going on a soccer field, they kick the ball and all our teams go chasing it. You see, that's what they're doing. So I was hoping, and maybe we can do it again in executive session. We could all get our heads together, if we gotta bang them together, whatever. But have a unique conversation about what's really going on with this property. One last thing, and man, I apologize if I get tears in my eyes, but this is one close to my heart. The incident that occurred.
Wait.
Who said
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes.
I'm the aunt of a little boy who was sexually assaulted at the Deerfield Town Park. My family has been going through a horrific time. When I tell you that my nephew is one of the most courageous little boys I have ever seen, and he is the reason why that man is behind bars right now, but you need to seriously, seriously think about what that man is saying about that low-income housing. Because this man came into our town and has been lurking here. Not only was he lurking here when my nephew was sexually assaulted, but he continued to lurk here without anybody knowing. And they picked him up again after he assaulted my nephew not far from the park. And I apologize that I'm breaking form. Okay. I really am. But we need to do something. I know you mentioned the cameras, but you need to think about what we are encouraging to move into our town. Because that man was a level 1 sex offender. And according to the New York State police website, level 1 sex offenders do not have to be registered on their sex offender website. Some judge determined that man was low risk. He was low risk when he touched the 13-year-old, he was low risk when he touched the 14-year-old, and he was low risk when he touched my 9-year-old nephew. Now you need to think about how you would feel if that were your child, your grandchild, your nephew. How would you feel about a low-income, and I'm not saying, I want to make sure it's on record, I'm not saying that all low-income people are pedophiles or criminals, but those of you that are up here in the top of Deerfield have no idea what is happening down at that park edge. The drug activity, the violence that's happening down there, the police presence down there since that has changed hands over to Section 8. You really need to think about what you are going to potentially bring into our community. And they're going to put a daycare center there? So what? So the single mother who has low income moves into an apartment and the neighbor next to her is a level 1 sex offender?
Carrie, can you elaborate more on legal privilege, please? Please?
What do you mean?
I saw you had something to present. In late privilege, after the meeting, can you continue?
Originally I was going to email every single board member, but then I decided sometimes when you see someone's face, right, it's different. But I originally said that my sister, her wife, and our family endured what everyone prays will never happen to someone in their family. Sexual assault is something you hear about on the news and pray it'll never happen to one of your loved ones. According to the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, in level 1 sex offenders considered low risk. Now, New York State generally does not release information about a level 1 sex offender. A level 1 sex offender lurked into our community and did the unimaginable. My nephew will never be the same. Ever. He will never be the same. So and that little boy had to look at pictures of that man and pick him out of a lineup. You need to think about what if it was your kid? What if it was your grandchild? What if it was your nephew? How would you feel? How would you feel?
So one of the things I wanted to mention too, and I thank you for reminding me, is I have a third sheet in here. I mentioned that I travel a lot and I visit low-income housing things. And the trend that they're seeing is they attract homelessness. They come in and they encamp around low-income housing because of services that may or may not be offered through the facility. And that's a rural area. There's woodlands, there's bridges, there's all kinds. I think we need to look at that project also as a safety issue for this reason that woman just explained so well. So at the last meeting, a young a person was hired for the youth program. And I had said, well, how come the board did it better? We just hired her. And the response I got was, it's the way we always done it. We're not going to change a thing. Well, I have more experience with this than I care to say on all ends of this, as well as being a victim as a child. Fortunately, I knew how to handle myself, and the person ended up in the hospital. Okay? So, and I'm not implying at all that any of the employees were responsible for this, but what you do in situations like this, there's two things we can do, is we can alert everyone that works in that park, especially if they're under our employ, what the dangers are, and give them basic trainings. The sheriff's department can help with that. The fire department can help with that. I can help with that. I do this stuff, right? They should all be briefed on the dangers. 1 in 3 women are victims. 1 in 7 males are victims. Predators look for this. They're like professionals. They go out, they look for this stuff.
And now you're going to have the Whitesboro track team going through the trails.
Right.
Who's protecting them?
Right. So if we had a little pamphlet or something, I don't know if there's a contract that goes out, that very lightly said, you know, please know where your children are at all times, please, some of the dangers are, blah, blah, blah. Just something intelligent to put out there to alert people. Because this isn't like, well, you know, it happened, it won't happen again, or maybe it won't. No, this shall never, never happen again. This is flat out totally unacceptable. And anything in our power that we can do to make sure it never happens again, we need to do. Mm-hmm. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Town Clerk Karen Day, you can do youth as well, please.
It's been a busy month with the routine duties of the clerk. And we already went through the dog enumeration, so I won't go into that. As far as the youth program goes, it has started and it's going strong. We have an average of 70 plus children per day. That may slow down as families go on vacation. Tomorrow we're taking a field trip to the Marquee to see movies. We have 70 kids signed up. We also have a trip booked to Boonville Fair on July 23rd. This is compliments of Oneida County Youth Bureau and the Cornell Extension. Busing, ride bracelets, fair food vouchers are all included in the package. And then our final trip is to the Utica Children's Museum in the Energy Zone. We enjoyed our Pancake Mondays, which we do every Monday. We make pancakes and then let the kids decorate them with anything they want. M&Ms, chocolate chips, gummy worms, whipped cream syrup, the whole nine yards. We have a karate group coming in. They're going to do a clinic. They're joining us to talk about bullying and self-protection. The New York State Police canine unit is coming. They're doing a demo and a talk. They will have the dogs with them. Harmony Farms will be bringing in some animals and horses, specifically at least one Clydesdale. And we've had one ice cream sundae day already. We have at least one more scheduled, and we have a spaghetti day. The kids absolutely love.
My son was very happy that Ice Cream Sunday started at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, ice cream already. I want to keep it going.
We take any kind of donations as far as goodies, ice pops, pancakes, spaghetti sauce, whatever anybody wants to share if they care to share. And that's about all I got.
Okay, thank you. Highway Superintendent Sam.
A few things going on with highway. You heard that our new pickup is in, it's decored. We'll be getting that, I'm guessing, by sometime this week. Our other one will be gone soon. It is sold. July green waste is all complete. Just keep you updated. I don't know much more than what was said before, but the salt contracts are not out yet from the state, so we still don't have any idea on what's going on with our salt for 25-26.
Is that delayed?
They haven't said it's been delayed, but they haven't come out with anything yet either. So I don't know where that's going yet. Our new RTV is in the park garage over here for the park to use. The tracks, we gotta get the tracks fit and get them on it before winter gets here. Working on that, you heard Phil say, working on installation quotes for the drainage on Hedgewood Place. I left all the board members a copy of the 284 agreement, which is a very fluid agreement on what roads we're intending on working on for the year. That changes all the time, which it's meant to do. Right now, some of those roads are already getting taken off that list, so I'll update that and get the board updated ones. Probably by next meeting, just because of prices and how much money my budget is spent. We're trying to fit it all in right now. I got some feelers out for paving in Jersey Park. I didn't know if the board, in talking with Chuck Humperville down there, if they intended on changing that fence out down there. Is that fence coming down? Are we putting fencing up? Don't know if that was part of the plan to look at. If you want me to go out and get quotes on fencing,
you haven't talked to me. I asked you to look at it a couple times, and I don't know why I can't talk about it.
That's what I am talking about with the board. I mean, you brought it up. I got to come out and get credit. I'm still waiting for the quote to come back to me, but I didn't know what the intention was.
It's all got to be looked at. That fence is pretty rusted.
My next point was we've got three bad trees on the other side of the fences. In the back. They have to come down, which just make it easier. I knew the fence was coming down. We can get in there and take them down, get all that stuff cleared out of there. Just FYI.
Okay.
I can go out if you want me to get quotes on fencing too.
Do we have anything yet with the... Would you like Sam to get the quotes? Or do you guys want to work on that?
It's just kind of difficult because I ask for things, but it never comes back to me of what we're doing in the parks. I'm supposed to be the parks chairman, but no one ever comes back and says, you know, what's the plan? What are we doing? What are we wanting? But I'd like to be involved in some of the conversations.
Okay. I mean, this is the first I've heard about the fencing, so.
Well, I know, but
I think it goes both ways.
Okay.
That's fine.
After the last windstorm, going around town assessing damages, see we have quite a few of our own dead trees around, maybe even our own park down here we've got. There's like six trees along the fence line that really need to come down. Some the town can give down, others are going to be professionally taken down, so they're not in the wires. And there's other places in town. I'll try to put a list together. Some of those contracts, county contracts right now, are $8,000 to $10,000 a day for Greater Heights to come in and cut trees. So just kind of keep you updated. We got the Brayton Road, all the ditching work completed over there. getting ready for the next step in the paving work. We're moving over to Coombs Road East next, trying to get the ditching work done over there, get some patchwork done so we can get that road sealed. And then trying hard to move on to Pauline Ave by the end of the month. We're going to be, it's probably going to take us a whole month down there to get that road done. So that'll be by the end of this month, we're intending on moving down there to do that work. We were out patching some spots on Harris Road, possibly to get that chip sealed this year. The road's in pretty good shape, yeah, I want to keep it that way. We'll also be working on some driveway culverts that people have applied for. That's about all I got for right now.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Out of courtesy. You guys did a great job picking up all the debris that everybody left, but I confess I brought a lot of that stuff. That was me. Do you just bring it up to Cruikshank Road and dump it? Would it be easier if I just brought it?
No.
No? Okay.
No, we don't want it. We don't want that up there.
Oh.
Okay. We put our chips and our leaves up there. We try to compost that stuff down. Hopefully, when the composting is complete, I'm going to offer that up to the residents, whoever wants them. That makes pretty nice stuff to put down for gardens. So that's what we do with our leaves and our wood chips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want...
Where does the debris go? Where does all that...
That gets taken down to the waste authority.
Oh, okay. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
Great. Any update on the culvert on the Harris Road culvert putting guy rails up?
I have not. I did talk to the guy rail company. I got to call him back and let him know where he's got to quote me on that one, and I got a couple of repairs to do.
Yeah, so. That's pretty scary in the winter, even with a car. And then the obviously one has brought that to my attention.
Nobody's ever brought it to my attention. I've never known to have a problem there, but
there were guy rails there years ago. I remember when I first came up.
I lived in town my entire life, and I don't remember car rails being there.
And then they broke, and yeah, when I used to run, I put my legs up on the stretch. They were there. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Buildings and codes, Mr. Maxwell left a report for review. Assessor. Matt, go ahead.
So I got a few things. So at the end of June, I turned in the final tax roll. So, essentially it's what everything is, going to be. That's the assessment from taxable status date, which is March 1st, moving forward. So final roll gets posted, and that will be used to calculate 2026 taxes. So, a lot of work getting that ready. So now it's kind of downtime. Our databases are frozen while the county real property office, finance department, essentially generates reports and future billing essentially gives us back our database for the 2026 tax roll. So projected to see that really this week at some point. So any database entry work kind of stuff hasn't been happening for, well, a couple of weeks now. So while I've had the downtime, I've just been going through backlog stuff, filing, doing reports, reporting to the state, sales, and I had assigned a level assessment stuff, some specialty reports, like modular homes and things like that. Going through the permits, going to see what inventory's been put on the roll, what hasn't, and coming up with a schedule of going around and looking at buildings and things like that, and getting some inventory on the roll. We go out when the leaf is off and buildings over, so now it's just kind of prep work for that. Kind of going through the office and organizing and going through stuff, and filing and things like that. And then the final roll is posted on the website. Thank you. that's a requirement by the state to do that, and the hard copy final rules are here as well, so also a requirement. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Matt. Planning Board, Patty Goldsmith left a report for review. ZBA and seniors, Lyra.
The zoning board hasn't met in a couple months. I did stop to see Mr. Maxwell and see what, if there was anything coming up, and he's just been handing out building permits, and people are staying within the boundaries, so that's it. The seniors are meeting regularly. We have some good card players, and we have some really good bingo players. Those are my favorites, but I enjoy them, so. And we just enjoy getting together.
Great. Thank you. Historian Mr. Fauci, not here. Parks Committee, Deb.
So, we've been working on the parks for at least 4 years, and the original committee has kind of fell apart because they didn't see any action. Stephanie Montescalchi's been helping me for the last 2.5 years, and we just feel like there needs to be some more interest by the board. I don't feel like the town board has much interest in this, because unless I bring it forward, nothing happens. We worked real hard on the proposal that was submitted and is currently at Marianne Buttonshine's office. I ran into her over the weekend, talked to her a little bit about it, asked her if she could call me if she had any questions or something. But the representative from Nexus Recreation was in town and asked us if we would like to meet. Most of the proposal was done through maps and aerial views and things like that, and my going out and measuring the park for them to provide a layout and so on and so forth. One of the things that was brought to light was that the critical condition that Brazy Park is in, to the point where we should remove things or put a lock on the fence and not let anybody in there, because there's a lot of liability to the town. One of the things that she also brought to light was, I don't know if you guys heard, but in the town of Lee, an 11-year-old boy was seriously injured on the playground equipment that was similar to ours, and they ended up with a $3.2 million settlement to the family, which is three times the estimate of the park redo, which when I presented to the board, we said it had all the bells and whistles and there could be trim. The representative also told us that a certified playground inspector would undoubtedly flag some of the serious issues of the structure instability, the hazardous surfacing, the P-stone that is, I believe, also on Wilderness Park is no longer according to code, so it should be, if nothing else, removed from the park. It's considered a choking hazard for little kids. I'm sorry, Sam, but I'm frustrated when I ask you for help on things and you don't call me back, instead you go to the board. I volunteer a lot of hours and just would like some return communication with that, you know.
I just thought the natural process was to
work with the parks chairman, who asked you for the estimate.
Right, but I'm not going to give it to you, but I got to give it to them.
But it's part of the parks. I asked you for it, so bring it to me, and I bring it to them. You know, it's kind of courtesy to work together. I'm always going forward, but nothing's coming back.
Well, I think we're at the process. We're waiting for the grant information, right? I talked to Mary Ann three times.
There's no grant. I asked for help with grant writing and was told we didn't have time. And
I don't remember saying that.
Mary Ann Buttonshine being the only one that's going to give us money
Well, I did reach out to you about the Wattis Foundation working with Nick Schmidt, and you said you were going to take care of that. So I don't know.
The Wattis Foundation, I reported that the Wattis Foundation will not cover the whole part of the park. They may cover a portion of it. But the thing is there's other information that, you know, nobody in the board, we just don't feel like you guys show an interest in this park. And now it's to the point where it's a liability for the town. I mean, the town of Lee, $3.2 million, now they're not only paying that, but now they're paying to get their park paid up. So.
Oh, maybe we have to look at breaking up the project instead of doing a full project.
I would just like some interest from the board to, because you guys never ever ask anything about it unless I come to a meeting and report it. It's been 3 years now that we've been working on this, and I laid out a whole thing that I gave the board, and nobody's ever, the previous supervisor is when it all started, and nobody's asked since then. So,
I'm not sure what to tell you there. I think we're all very interested in getting this project done. I don't think.
We met with you and Stephanie that one time, and I sent you guys a bunch of different grant options, and I never heard.
I went through all of those, and I reported it at the board meeting that we've gone through all the grants, and Stephanie went through and called a bunch more, and we just don't qualify for them.
What if we try looking at other playgrounds? I mean, I think the problem here is that it's a very large project with all the bells and whistles and a lot of money. Have we looked at other options to do other companies to come in for maybe competitively?
I did look at the option that I think Greg gave me. The proposal that we have when we met with the girl, the woman for the representative for Nexus, she gave us ideas of how we can trim, but and they do have programs where if we get funding, we get a discount up to 50% on equipment. We can do, and the things that we just, I have it all written out that I'm going to give you, I just couldn't print enough before I got here for everybody. But we can do things like if the highway department can remove some of the trees and do some of the grading, then that takes away the cost from the recreation company. If we can look at doing it in phases so we don't take one big hit or something like that, but if the point is if Buck John's office doesn't come across with money for us, then we have to look at the bigger issue of do we just rip everything out of there or rip out what's broken and wait a couple more years until grant money's available.
Yeah.
It's become that serious.
So, well, then,
residents
then
have been complaining about it for 3 years.
I understand that. Let's go back to the, why don't we talk after the meeting and we'll see, we'll try to put together something that we can do in phases if this doesn't come through, this grant money. If Wattis is willing to pay for certain aspects so we can get the ball rolling and start building in phases, then I think everybody on the board is ready to roll with that yesterday.
I
so.
Agree that that's what we may need to do, but it has to be an overall plan and you do this portion, not that we just have
right, I understand, yeah, of course.
Throw something here, throw something there, put in a swing, put in a this, that. You
know. Of course,
can I make a suggestion regarding the earlier tit for tat between Sam and Deb regarding communication? What if when you communicate to the supervisor, to the board, Deb was CC, so she knows everything that's transpiring, and she could be like an aggregator of the information, and then in her monthly meeting, she could present what's transpired as one package.
And that's what the board wants me to do, is just give it all the data that her presented. I'm okay with that. I just didn't know the process and what.
I
just give it to them.
Whatever you have, we'll give to.
Request to somebody.
Right.
And they
listen.
Give it to somebody else,
all right.
Instead of giving me an answer.
We'll let everything. Thousand. Yeah. Whatever quote you get, send it to Deb and she can present it to us.
That's fine. With
yep. That's fine.
But like what Sam does, he might talk to you, or he might talk to Phil, he might talk to the board as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But CC Deb on that and let her aggregate all the information and present that to the board.
Yeah.
Sort of a logistical thing that'll, I think, help with the communication. Right. Sound good, Deb?
And when I talked about the quote for the asphalt, I did mention to you that fencing all needs to be replaced. It's all rusty. It's the place is a pigsty. It really is. And it, I'm not saying that it's pigsty because of us, but it's become a pigsty.
It's aged.
And less people are going there, and there used to be people there all the time, and now all services are being saved, you know. And I get, what are you doing? You've been saying you're going to be doing something. You're saying you're doing something. Now it's like kind of coming back on me that I haven't been doing anything. So.
Well, when I get this boat back for the asphalt work, I will, and I'll get a quote on fencing. I'll get a review.
Okay. And I also talked to you about the trees a couple of years ago. I'd be happy to, I told you before, I'd be happy to meet you there and show you what trees are issues, because I do have some experience with trees and, you know, which ones are good and which ones are bad. So, and some of them are small enough that the town could take out, but I know others are probably, they have to get a quote from a tree company. You know, we talked about that in the past too. So.
The gentleman in the back had a comment.
So, I feel a pain because that was the same thing when I was on the board. I asked for like a plan, a master plan for the parks. I pretty much was laughed at. I left. It was a waste of time. I would hear where the Girl Scouts would come and do one project in the park. The Boy Scouts would come in and do what they wanted. They tore apart what the Girl Scouts did, and the same thing. I apologize. I'm just getting over a cold. I'm not contagious. I wrote to every one of you. I'm the guy with the letter. I fell in the park. I'm tired of. It's such a resource to have there. You just voted in to have the track team come back again to host events. Well, God, have any of you walked any of that, even that first mile and a half loop over here? Have any of you walked it?
Yeah, I just walked it with the cross country coach the other day.
Just recently?
Yeah.
Okay. For the last month, I've fallen three times.
4 days ago, we walked it.
Okay, three times I've fallen. Rocks that are just coming up out of the ground, little gouges from tire marks or what have you, somebody going through when it's wet. Stuff that just hides under the grass even. You twist an ankle, you know, I get down, it's easy to get back up again. I'm just a little tired of myself. And to hear the same thing, we got the kid that's been molested down in the park, we have no police presence either. Where is the sheriff? I heard years ago that there was some conflict between the town and the sheriff's department. That's one of the reasons they never come up here. I just talked to the sheriff who was investigating, because I'm right across from the park, and I said, I apologize, if I had seen it, I probably would have done something, but I have the trees that are right there. And I said, how come you guys aren't up here? Why aren't you trying to, well, you know, we're so spread out, we're very thin ourselves. So we're promoting to do all these things, and we don't have any support.
You have full support of the board, trust me.
How are you getting the sheriffs
wait,
up here?
I actually had to email Mayshaw myself, because when I put it on the Friends and Family Deerfield page, the issues we're having on Cozumel Road, it basically was like, well, what do you do? So I had to email Mayshaw myself and say somebody is going to be killed. And basically, because it's a county road, the town doesn't want to hear about it. But to me, we're still Deerfield residents. Cozumel Road, I'm still a Deerfield resident. It's like, I feel like if you don't live way up here in Deerfield, then you don't count. Well, we count too. I've lived into the town of Deerfield down the lower end for over 40 years. I just feel like we're just ignored down there. We're ignored. And that's the thing. I had to email that myself.
Same here. Yeah. There's no... I think I've seen a sheriff in the last 2 months one time go down the road. That was actually shot. Again, these are, you want to put cameras out, what are you going to do with cameras?
And there's no response.
It's like you got a picture. You have enough quality to find out who it is, who's doing what.
We're working on that, sir.
We're working. I mean, no disrespect. I haven't been here in a long time. I've been up here for 35 years. When was the last time? A lot of you folks know me up there. When was the last time you saw me at a meeting? I'm actually surprised I actually walked across the road to come here. There's one of the reasons I didn't want to come. I'm a little touchy. I apologize. there's no support, there's no communication. We got, the Parks Committee, I asked one thing. They wanted me to paint park benches. That was the reason they wanted me on the Parks Committee.
Who did?
Whoever was in charge then. Honestly, I don't even remember. It's been a long time.
I don't have any control over that.
I'm hearing the same things today that I heard back then. I heard someone up here just say, well, that's the way we used to do it. Well, if we don't change something, if we don't change, we're going to fade away. Because right now, you want to do all these nice little things, and it's he said, she said, let's go here, let's go there. She needs help. I'd like to say I'd help her. I'm afraid to. Because you folks wouldn't like me. You'd ask me to leave.
He's not a plant.
I think the hesitation, Mr. Supervisor, is logistical. Like, as a board, how do we function to answer these questions? You know, you almost need an executive session or a committee. Because we hear all this.
That's how other board is run.
Yeah, we put our papers in full and we go home.
Yeah, you have a board member on the committee, and then you have...
It's not something I do, right?
What do we do? How do we do this? We put together a committee?
No, you put your own, you can turn around and sit on the board with them. They have a committee and have one of the board members there.
Yeah, that's how it works.
We had Don Key was supervisor. I was on the Parks Committee back in the day. I mean, you know, it's been around for about 45 years. So you know how things go. We were going to do this, we were going to do that. And you turn around and say to Joe, well, this is what we planned. Oh, I don't want to do that.
There's no master plan. Tell me you have a master plan for the parks like you have a master plan for the town.
No, there's never been.
That's why we're working on this with Debbie. Yeah. We're trying to do the best we can for the townspeople.
I heard this back then.
Okay, I'm sorry to not give you the answer you were expecting.
See, now the ideas are newer. You're more apt to do that. A lot of back in the day, they didn't want to hear it.
In my first year on the board, I worked to get grants to upgrade the town park here. We're trying. There's nobody on the board wants to not see good things happen in the town.
There must be a lack of communication between she and you.
I think it's just logistical. You know, like, that's why I say, what do we do? And I think that you have a monthly, your every 3 month board meeting. How come I'll sit on it?
Right now, it's just me and Stephanie.
Yes,
I've asked 100 times for people to join it.
Let's put a committee together, and I will come to the committee meetings, and I will represent them. It's just a logistical thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's communication, because we want to do exactly what you're saying. I know I do.
Okay.
We have a great, incredible park.
Absolutely.
So let's make it better together. Get it, work with Deb, get on the park system. We'll work together. I'll come to the meetings.
Thank you. I'm kind of over here, and I just want to say, I think you can get the key. And I've been patiently listening and trying to assess what's going on in our town, which is not unlike what I'm going through on a county level with the party. And the key is communication.
Yeah.
Our problem in this town is not unique to us, and it's not unique to any other town. But we have the ability to change it. And I've said through a number of meetings, I never used to come to any of these meetings until I became the Deerfield chairman. I'm starting to understand now, I think fundamentally, what's in some of the problem. The problem is that nobody knows what the left hand and the right hand is doing. Mm-hmm. And I started months and months and months ago. And I mean, thank you. I want to say thanks for the fact that you got some of the data up on the website now. Because we built a new website, paid for a new website, and the idea is to use that website to communicate. And if our town did something as simple, because I'm listening again and listening again and listening again. Does anyone on the board know how many households we have in town of Deerfield? Within reason?
1,600.
1,600.
Something like that.
1,740, my last count.
All right, let's just say it's a million. Dealing with a number of things we talked about tonight already, let's talk about the mail. The cost of mailers have gone up. But yet we could easily build a database of 1,600 people in our town who would do nothing to build it in terms of the amount of time it would take. And we could take that mailer and we could electronically send it to every person in town for pennies instead of 60 cents a mailer. That same database would allow you to send a link to every person in town to say, if you want to see the last board meeting, here's the link. Click on it if you want. That same database would allow the Parks Committee to be able to say, you know what, we want to let the whole town know what we're doing and see if we can get volunteers to help us. That same database will turn around and become the best tool this town has to keep its people informed, to try to get momentum for good things, to talk about things that are an issue before they become an issue. And you're right, if we don't understand insurance liability, you people got to be crazy to let our town sit here. And you just watched another town get nailed for $3.5 million. My question for the town of Whitesboro, for the school of Whitesboro that I pay taxes and my grandsons go there, to the town is, are we a co-named in their insurance? So if someone falls on our trail, they're not just going to sue us. They're going to sue the Whitesboro School District, who has 100 times more big insurance.
Yes, we have coverage.
But see, I think these are the things that if you let people know, communicate, they would feel better. Don't look surprised, Karen. All I'm asking is that what I'm saying to you is that these are questions that people have in town, that if they were already addressed in some kind of electronic communication that was on a regular basis, you might see more participation, you might see more support, you might even see a momentum to try to carry through some of the things you're working on that you folks feel like maybe there's foot dragging you because the community's not behind it, or whatever. The key is communication. And I brought this up a number of times patiently waiting because my companies do this and I have them offered to do it for you. But with 1,600 households, that's it. The thing that you couldn't put them into a database with phone numbers and email addresses to be able to electronically talk to people so much more cost effectively is a ridiculous waste of money for us not to do it. Every day we don't do it, it costs us money because we could reduce some expenses on other ends. Not to mention the fact that we could communicate more effectively with our constituents, which is why we voted you in. So again, I bring this up not because of my background, but because I think that some of the solutions are not that difficult. What Town of Deerfield could do would be to do exactly what I said, which is to build itself a database. We're doing it on a county level because we recognize that we can't go out and send 50,000 political mailers out because we don't have the money. We now have to talk to people, especially these younger people. Yeah, I'm looking at you guys. Okay? That you don't do it the same way anymore. We need kind of mature in terms of how we're communicating, but the key word is communicate because that's what most people feel like they're not is brought up to speed. Now, again, not knowing what the right hand's doing. And it's easier to have a board, which I know you all are, and I really mean it, that is accepting of new ideas and new approaches as opposed to the way we've always done. Because in the end, you're going to have to do it that way in order for the town to survive. That's not my reality, that's our reality. All right, so with that, I'm all set.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Kevin.
Thank you.
Work with Quazini back in January. My objective was to see if we could install a module on the website to harvest email addresses. It might be time to do that. That was what I was trying to do. Because it's a powerful website. The technology is in that site to do that. Yep. And then you use the newsletter. And it could take 2 years. But man, like Mr. Rogers said, if we had that database, that'd be unprecedented.
Yeah.
We've never done anything like that. It's so useful. So you just put it, I used to have this. You put a module in, they went in, they subscribed. And boom, you got it, you know, update, whatever. And then you use the newsletter, word of mouth to get them to do that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we'll definitely look into that. We'll talk to Claude Simeon.
You need help with that.
All right, Town Attorney, Mr. Schmidt.
Nothing to report.
Okay, moving on, no media. Anyone for late privilege of the floor? Yes, sir.
Three real quick things, I promise I'll be quick. One, the cameras. I have just a little bit of experience with surveillance from my profession that I used to do for about the better part of 3 decades.
Could you just state your name,
John,
please?
John Booth, Route 8. I'm 1 mile from the Deerfield Town Barn.
Yeah.
The cameras serve a dual purpose. One, as the one gentleman I believe said, where are you going to get a picture? Correct. But conversely, if I'm walking that trail as a guy who's been divorced now for 10 years and I walk the trails a lot, as Sam knows, because sometimes I'll go to the town and say, hey, are you aware of this and that? And then somebody who doesn't know me, something happens. Well, I saw some big orangutan walking past about 10 minutes ago. That also protects the public and people, helps rule out a potential suspect for law enforcement. Department of Criminal Justice Services has stats on their website. You can look up through any search engine, New York State, FBI, posts all that information routinely. You can drill right down to your local townships in reference to not just the park, but the project that Mr. Fusco brought up, the housing project. My second, my last piece is, thanks to Mr. Fusco, Mr. Maxwell, and you, sir, I wanted to piggyback on those properties are being cleaned up. I see it. I'm hoping that, just saying, I realize Mr. Maxwell's not here. I know you said I should communicate with him, but unfortunately, my hours aren't conducive to that. By the time I get home, he's already...
I'll pass that along to him.
So I just don't want to see us lose momentum. Him being here reminds me my taxes are still going up, and I'm surrounded by abandoned properties. Mm-hmm. And the one next to me, I see abandoned, he's trying to sell it again. So, and it sits there falling into disrepair, disuse, and no fault of his own. He didn't know what he was buying. So, and I'm not talking about the property on the Pullman side, I'm talking on the other side of me. He is actively trying to get rid of it, because he thinks he got a, you know, stole the money, no fault of anyone. So again, thank you for your help and for listening and actually acting on that. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Brian, yes.
Yeah, Brian O'Rourke, North Gage Road. I was just wondering if there's any recent communication, maybe within the past couple months, from ClearPath Energy, the solar company that built on North Gage and Route 8, in terms of the current project that we get to look at now, maybe any new projects, and then also just in terms of have they been paying what they owe the town, things like that. Just looking for an update. I haven't been here in a couple months, so.
So currently, I mean, there haven't been any updates on any new projects coming in. There's nothing at all. We just got a statement saying there's nothing. There was a mistake. They sent out a letter stating it was miscommunication on their behalf, but there are no new projects coming in, no battery storage, nothing with that project. What you see right now is that's it. In terms of what they owe to the town in terms of the host community agreement, we've been in contact with their attorney.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know, Mr. Schmidt, if you have an update there.
Talked with him about 6 weeks ago. The program for the host community agreement, I'm not going to pretend that I understand it, but it's when it becomes energized and basically they start making money, that's when the term begins. And that, when I talked with him last, it had not reached that stage yet.
So I live right next to it. It's a major part of my everyday life now. It's online. Yes, those panels are tilting, tracking the sun daily, facing east in the morning and west in the afternoon. It's online.
And I think we're trying to get clarity as well on if that project, if that host community kicks in when they energize, or if it's a year,
right.
A full
so,
year's.
Question, kind of like what Dan said earlier about letting them kind of drive the car. Can we just send them an invoice? You owe us. Your project's been sitting there for over a year now. If they're dragging their feet on whatever they're doing paperwork-wise or whatever their attorney's doing, who gives a whatever?
Yeah.
Send them an invoice. They need to start paying what they said they're going to pay. Because if we're waiting on them to become profitable...
No.
No,
that might be, you know.
That's not what the agreement says.
Well, you did say that, so.
When they start generating money.
Okay. But back to my question, what is keeping us from just sending them an invoice?
The agreement that the town board executed with ClearPath is to when the payments would begin. Okay. If they begin now or if they begin a month from now, that means there's 1 month on the end. So we're not losing money, okay? So I don't want you to leave here thinking that, you know, they're operating for a number of months and we're not going to get paid for that. Once, and again, I apologize, it's in the agreement exactly what it's called. But once we reach that stage, that's when the term of the agreement will then begins.
So the agreement's been made, but we don't understand the agreement.
I'm telling you, I don't understand the provision as to when it begins. I can tell you I've talked with their attorney and was assured I'd have an explanation soon.
But, right. Doesn't make sense.
Isn't there a
a public utility recording system through NYISO with that reports the renewable energy power generation per project.
Yep. You can go on there. I mean, that's how I found out that they were generating, because I went on there and you can visibly see that they're generating.
That's what generated your request to me to contact
right.
your attorney.
But again, I know directly that Clear Path Energy is in financial diversion for money. So I really think it's something we need to get out ahead of. And I know they don't pay their bills on time to their contractors. And
I know.
And I don't think we're going to be any different in this. So.
Can you give them the name of that resource? Maybe, Ryan, you can look it up and track that. You can track the production.
Do you have the actual website?
I can send it to you, but yeah, off NYISO. It's like New York Sun.
Yeah,
and you can go project by project in the state.
We have a town attorney, though, who should be able to look in the contract and say specifically, this is when we start, and here's the remedy if they don't start on time. And if you don't start on time, and you find you don't start on time, this is what happens next. Bill, is that in there?
Is that in there?
Yes. Do you know what that end date is?
Not the end date. I don't know what the beginning date.
Yes, you know the okay.
I do not know the
beginning. Do you know what triggers it, or do we have verification?
I know what triggers it. I don't understand what triggers it. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you.
How do we have an agreement if we don't understand what triggers it?
Because it's specific to energy. I just don't understand the terminology, okay?
I understand, because I don't either. So I'm asking a question that someone asked me.
I've been in contact with their attorney.
Well, because he signed the contract, but the town signed the contract. It said that there would be
an agreement that would begin a term. The term would begin when, whatever that phrase
sure.
is, when that
right.
begins.
Right.
So we're not losing money now.
Understand. We just don't know. We just don't know who is the person who says it's actually generating now. We have to take their word for it?
No.
How do we, well, who's the third party that can tell us for sure?
I would think it would be NYISO, and I will follow up on that, okay? Because it has been 6 weeks since
I think
talked.
I think he has a reasonable question to lie.
I'm sure he does.
Every day. Every day.
Yep.
You just got to monitor. Yeah,
thanks to the planning board.
You got to monitor the energy output and the renewable energy credits that they receive from that output. And that's public information. So somebody just has to do that. You just got to monitor that. That's why I say, Ryan, if you want to do that.
Well, again, I'm going to...
Well, Bill can follow up with that, sir.
I will follow up.
It's bad enough I got to look at it. It's bad enough my property value went down. I don't need to go and track what they're generating. I've already done enough. So...
Okay. Thanks, Ryan. Anyone else late privilege? Sir, go ahead.
Larry Giulio. So I've been coming to some of the meetings. I'm like a lot of other people came to a lot of meetings years ago and fell off because it wasn't just doing anything. But what has piqued my interest is this development on Mullaney Road. And you've heard all the things. I'd like somebody to put a stop. You could keep the project going, but if they put Section 8 housing in there, it's condemned. And somebody should put that legally in paper, and whoever started this whole process should follow up with it. Because I think once you get Section 8, all you gotta do is go into Utica and see what's happening with Section 8 housing and what's happening. If you look at the building across the street from the brewery, it's a nightmare. Police, fire, go there all the time. The residents have taken appliances out and trashed them and taken them to the junkyard. What do you think is going to happen? And if you think a person is going to have Section 8 housing on one level and a higher rate on another level, you're fooling yourself. Once it's Section 8, it's done.
Allowing them to buy the land means we're already down the river.
Yes.
So but
I think
somebody's going to need that to stop. Because buying the land means it's done for you.
But you're 2 years down maybe from the starting the project and digging. It's got to be stopped. I mean, build it.
2 years already.
But if they put Section 8, it's got to be condemned. There's got to be some legal.
There's no guarantee.
Because
then they sell it, and then it becomes Section 8.
Well, that's just it can't be. There.
Just like
be
they can't. Just like what is the process of screening who gets to move there?
Right.
There isn't one. You don't know.
And the process doesn't really matter, because we talked about this at the last meeting.
Right.
They present that the income can be, you know, so many apartments at 30,000 income level, so many at 50,000, so many at 80,000. Well, if nobody who makes 80,000 applies for that, then it's going to go to the lesser income.
Exactly.
Why should we look for development plans for middle income and up? Why the middle income and down? Deerfield is a growing suburban
Housing, so they get to take whatever
this is the board. The board takes the general direction of where the town is going. If this board believes that middle and up housing is what should be the kinds of development projects that should be here, then those are the kinds of projects we should be on.
You got to remember that we need the seniors. We're also looking at the seniors. They're lower income. So, I mean, there's got to be some way that you can turn around.
There is a balance.
Seniors are not considered low-income Section 8 houses.
When we talked to them, they said, you know, we're talking about seniors, and they went along with it. Right. At the meeting, that's what they said.
But the problem is we now know that it's going into what kind of impact on our school systems.
They turned around and did the basic type of thing.
That's why the entire plan agreed to from top to bottom first, with all of the concepts inside contracts, the value to have remedies, how you go ahead business deal. Mm-hmm. You don't go ahead by saying, let me buy your name and I'll let you know later what I'm going to build on. Or here's the generation of the
land. All right, listen, we're gonna go back to Mr. Giulio and let him finish, please.
Mr. Giulio,
you can finish.
Nope. I said what I want to do. I think we got time to stop it. I've been in Fairfield since 1980, and I hate to see this happen. Yes, we're in the Wilderness Park area, and I'm happy I'm not on the lower end, which is being inundated by SUNY students, creating havoc in the Utica part of that, the roads. And the havoc that goes on in there. But no, I'd like to see the board put a stop to this project. I don't care if Albany is going to give them $30 million. It doesn't matter. It's wrong from the start.
Okay.
Mr. Supervisor, maybe, like I said, I was disappointed with joint meeting. Maybe we should have an executive session with just the two boards. And we talked about
what's the basis.
Because one of the things I was going to, maybe I don't understand. But one of the things I was going to recommend was you could put age restrictions on this. And you could cite safety concerns. And that changes everything. Because we would love senior housing. But you have to call it out now. But if we sit there and read from their playbook, we get whatever they dish out to us. Now, can you please explain to me, sir, what...
Executive session is without the public...
Right.
Okay, you don't keep minutes unless you're going to take action in it, okay?
Right.
And you can only go into executive session for certain specific reasons. Okay, a general discussion about housing in the town of Deerfield isn't going to meet that threshold.
Well, can you give me an example? Could there be a reason, justification relative to this that you could think of?
There's eight reasons. I'll look at them, but to get into executive session, it's supposed to be difficult. Okay. You're supposed to be transparent and open. That's why it's...
So maybe we have another meeting and we just make it clear that the developers sit there and listen to us and we don't play by the playbook. And we come with our unique points of views and we talk about what we want as a town. That's what I was hoping for, but it did not go that way at all. It was disappointing. Maybe we need to do that again.
You're saying do that again with the developers... here so we can
have it open, but let them know we're not hosting them to present to us. We are putting on our thinking caps as two boards and whatever it is, 10 individuals, and we're all going to express our points of views whether we agree with each other or not. We're going to lay it on the table and through that process hopefully we come up with a good solution. I believe in conflict because that's what manifests everything, thunder and lightning, but you have to be fair about it. You have to have conflict, and what if Dave and I argue, well, maybe the resolve is going to land on the table somewhere between us that's going to be good for the town, and we remain friends. You see what I mean? So maybe this time we have another meeting, we just do it differently.
name, okay. Debbie was next, Debbie.
So, Sam, I'd like to ask you to look at the green waste truck. It went through the neighborhood and it spills something. And everybody that walked by, not in front of my house, but on Tarleton Drive and down in Forest and around there, it smelled like a sewage plant for a week. It was disgusting. Something leaked somewhere along the line, stuff leaks out of there. So if you could look at that, that would be appreciated. A couple of people asked me to mention it.
Okay.
The one that collects the green waste, not the chipper. The other thing is, we're getting back to the cameras. The cameras was something that was on the list for, from the Parks Committee we've been asking for. So, David, I'd be happy to help out with that as long as this gentleman. But another option is with the town, and you don't have to answer me now, but maybe discuss it and let me know. Be interested in hosting a cell tower. Because there are spots on that trail where I don't have service. I know, you know, each, I've worked in this cell tower industry for 25 years, so I know it's, you know, somebody else could have service and I couldn't, but that might be an option. It would also generate revenue for the town, or communication for cameras and all that other stuff, because that's something that you might want to consider and let me know, and I can contact a couple.
Well, I think, Dave, if you're going to... You're going to reach out to the service providers.
Yep.
What's that?
We'd have to get a service provider.
Dave's got to talk to the service providers anyway, so he can reach out to them. And
yep, and as far as the cameras, all the members of the council can have an app. Their own login and password would be alerted if there's anything. You can set as far as at 9 o'clock. Anybody shows up to town past 9 o'clock, we would get an alert. So you can actually send time zones as far as... You get special alerts.
I don't mean that. What do you mean by service providers?
He's going to talk to. He's got to talk to Verizon, AT&T.
I have those contacts. If you want me to do it, I mean, if you just dial their 800 number, chances are.
Yeah.
Because I used to get those calls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once so, you know, I get as far as the estimates and stuff like that, we got to find out what they need as far as the actual, what kind of provider, what kind of service they're going to need. So, we'll, you know, if I need some help, I'll give you a buzz. Okay. Figure that out.
Yeah.
How about a Starlink right at the park? And if I look at Starlink is really a cheap investment right now. $350 to buy the equipment. You buy what services you need. And if you wanted to do just telephone, you want to do surveys, you want to do cameras, it's all digital. You don't have to run any wires, zero. All you need is 110 volt.
Another thing for Wilderness Park, I did the cleanup for Bob.
Bob Fuller.
This weekend, and as I was leaving, there was somebody coming in. It was close to dusk. Have we ever considered maybe some type of electric gate on Wilderness Park to stop people from coming in?
But that shouldn't be a response. They go around it, you know, I mean, but we can't know that they're not supposed to. Yeah, let them know that they're not supposed to be in there and that they can just go in and do whatever they want. So it's something to consider. Okay, thank you, Mary. If you're going to do this meeting with them, like we had the last one, if you guys got together and they had some questions instead of ending up harping on specific objects like the low income, Dan must have spent 10 minutes with the low-income thing going back and back and forth. That's just a waste of time. You need to go and brainstorm and decide what you want to know if you're going to turn around and say, this is our playbook. You need to have a playbook before you turn around and do that. So that would have to be somebody. Now you ask all these people that are here, anybody has any ideas or what they want to do, tell the board.
Well, you know, and I can work with Daphne too. We can probably get a link set up on the website for people to submit questions that we can send to them or and have at the meeting and ask at the meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we can work on that. Thanks, Mary. Yes, sir. Yes.
First passed on low income housing. Can the board, do you guys be involved in who moves in, who the tenants can be moving in there? So we can kind of screen, do a background check, who's like, let's say, sex offenders, who's like level one sex offenders, for example, and then open to public, do that with law enforcement, search them up.
I did reach out to them. They, and this is, don't quote me on this because I don't have the information up in front of me, but I do believe that the town board will have a say in the process of who gets, you know, which route we're going to go with, you know, seniors. We'll be able to look at the, we'll be able to look at the applicants. In terms of going deeper, we'll have to submit more questions and, you know, get finite details. But we're pushing, what's it? Yeah. Yeah.
For how long will the board be involved with the applicants? Well, this company owns it, when every company owns it, how many change of hands will you guys be involved? Because don't you think at some point, and if another company buys it, then they'll make you less involved?
Right. Well, we'll talk about that. That's a good question. You do? Okay. Okay. I'll mark that question for, we'll review it as a board and bring it up.
Yeah, I thought Pam Stone said previously that they intended to oversee it the whole time and not.
Yeah, and the last time Pam Stone did mention that they're going to own the project throughout its entirety.
Yeah. Whether or not that but again, follows well, through, but they did say that.
Those are things we can dial in when we question them. Yes, sir.
And so this income prop for this little project that's going on, Laney Road, what does the town of Deerfield actually get out of it?
Well, the tax base for one thing, with the whole project, it's, you know, it supports our tax base for
there's
one.
There's no pilot for this project.
I don't believe we've gotten that far yet in the process. Absolutely, yeah. Again, things we have to hash out. It's still very conceptual.
Yeah, we haven't even done the secret yet.
Sounds like you need a lot.
Yes. Well, that's what we're working on, sir. Yeah. Yes.
Tammy, I just say I thought you were going to come and speak in our North Utica meeting next month, so I appreciate coming and doing that.
Yeah.
They did reach out to the developer to come and speak as well. Last I knew, they hadn't even responded.
I believe they spoke with Bodon, the developer in terms of arson.
Yes.
I believe they spoke with Bodon.
I know he contacted them several times.
And when I last I heard, they were good. Attending. So.
Good.
I'll follow up with them though to verify.
As far as like the crime statistics, I tried to get them for like Kennedy Plaza because it's probably going to be the same kind of project. And I worked right next door to there, and I got to tell you, the sirens were day and night, all night long. I think we're probably going to see a lot of that. I know it doesn't affect a lot of people, it affects me, but I don't want to listen to that, you know, 10 times a day, every day and all night. I did try to get those stats. I wasn't able to get them. We had a file of information.
Yeah.
To get that stuff, so if anybody has any ideas how to get that information, I'll be happy to do it. I just don't know how else to go about it. I actually had a lengthy conversation with Marianne Buttonshaw about this project as well, and she was seemed very involved and very aware of the first phase, but not the second phase of things. So maybe at some point she could be involved a little bit. And the map for phase two, not phase one, but for phase two, is not correct.
It's not. It's conceptual.
Correct.
And they.
It's not correct. So if you try to put those housing units on if you're facing it, the left side of the street, they won't fit there.
And they did say that the housing is way overblown. It will not be that big. They can't. They're not going to be able to.
That's what you're presenting as your idea. It should be close to right.
Yeah.
I would think. You know, I mean, you want people to approve it. You want people
sure.
to be on board, and it's not even close to what they can put where they can put it. You know, but this is all my digging, like calling Marianne Buttonshaw, talking to my councilmen, coming to these meetings. So I think it'll be really helpful if it's at least on your town board. I know there is a Horatio Street like section on there because I look at it all the time. So that's helpful, but I think people get nervous about what they don't know.
Sure.
So, yeah. I personally am going out next week, or 2 weeks from now, handing out flyers in every mailbox in my neighborhood about the North Utica meeting, so that people can come and get a better idea of what's going on. So hopefully some of those things will help. But I am just as worried as all of you. I live right there, about the crime, about the noise, all of that stuff.
I work at the hospital, Lynn Hospital, and every time I work, there's probably every day sirens or cops or fire trucks at Kennedy Plaza.
There sure is.
And I used to live in a parkage, 2015 for a year. It wasn't bad back then, but now it's where I don't live there anymore, because it's what it turned into.
And it was disheartening when they talked about the income levels of the people that were going to live there. I felt like I got to really press that to get that information. That what if you don't get people making $80,000 that want to live there? You just leave those apartments empty until somebody making $80,000 does. So that was kind of disheartening to hear that it's they'll just give it to whoever. You know, whoever applies.
You have to meet a certain percentage of the median area income. You know, one, like Section 8 would be 50%, considered low income would be 60%. That's why you can't say no to Section 8.
Right, you know, but you don't know who's going to apply.
So it's a percentage. And I maintain, you know, we have a pretty high area median income. So that means they got a big pool of potential tenants. You know, 60, I think it's 79,000 or 81,000, right? So 60% of that is pretty high, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have no problem finding people for that. You see what I mean? You're going to have a big pool of people.
Well, you hope they're going to have a big pool.
Well, yeah.
You don't know what they're going to have. You're hoping they're going to have.
I just feel there's not enough information here. We just...
Oh, there are 1,700 households in Deerfield. 1,700. Right. It's so easy. You simply find out whether the majority are behind this project. And then you follow the public's majority reasoning.
Majority, and right now,
this is just, I'm just looking at this from the outset of as Deerfield resident too. This is not even a 50-50 room. This is not even an 80-20 room. If this is any example of how the residents of Deerfield feel about this, then the answer for this project is simple. The answer is no.
Well, I believe, Mr. Schmidt, you can say legally we can't just say no.
I realize we can't say no, but we can.
Why not?
We can't have no because we're under litigation, because we're under legal obligation to do things. But Bill knows that we can just as easily wind it down.
There are ways.
We can wind it down if the public. If this is not what the public wants, and I'm telling you, unless this is not symbolic of Deerfield, the public in Deerfield does not want this project. If at the very least they want you to slow this down so that we can redesign a project that looks at middle and up. As we talked about when we said, when you build these things and the developers admitted the same thing, they never go up in value. They start here and they go down. Just like around the house with the solar things. I believe, this is ran a little long, I'm sorry that I'm the last one kind of speaking. But to me this is very simple. Again, just watching this. If the town of Deerfield, the majority of these residents do not want this, it is time to be listened to and start winding this down. Winding it down. If we don't even know answers to things like, what are you going to do in phase two? Could it get away from us? Of course it could. Then the answer is no. Thank you for giving me the time, guys.
Yep. Anyone else late privilege? Laura, yes, I'm sorry.
I'm just advocating for the seniors. There are many seniors that I know who live on less than $25,000 a year. So there is a big need for senior housing, and I have brought this up to Pathstone.
Yeah.
And I'm pushing more for the seniors. Nothing to do with Section 8, but seniors don't have a lot of income coming in. Some of them do, but there's a lot out there that don't. Mm-hmm. So I'm speaking for them.
Okay.
And I'll just add on to that. There was a county housing study done, and it was showing the need of housing in our area. In the next 5 years, we're going to need almost 6,000 units in the county. But seniors were in that high need area. So it posted on the Oneida County website and their socials. And there is information in there pertaining to this kind of housing development.
Okay.
Just
yeah,
put
this
it out
is,
there.
This is being presented as workforce housing. It's not being presented as senior housing.
Yeah, no. Correct. But they were told, but you know,
it's camouflage.
We need
sort
senior
of
housing.
Yeah, you can tell them, but they say
yes.
They're saying.
Okay, you know, anyone else for late privilege?
Can you invite
Bunch
on? I mean, I said, hey, this one talk to her, this one mm-hmm. talk to her. Have her come to maybe one meeting and everybody can throw all their stuff in or set up.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll invite her. Okay. All right, moving on. No executive session. Motion to pay bills. I need a motion we pay general fund bills 213 through 245.
For a second.
I'm sorry, I missed who.
Daphne first, Dave second.
Sorry. Thanks. And who, what was that?
Dave was second. General fund.
General. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Need a motion to approve highway fund bills 121 through 137.
A motion.
All in favor?
Mary, real quick, we're almost done. Thank you. Aye.
Motion carried.
Need a motion to approve capital projects fund number 2.
I'll make that motion.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I need a motion to approve sewer fund or sewer bill number 6.
Motion.
I'll second.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
You need a motion to adjourn?
Ooh.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Wow. I got the big one tonight.